The word of God will be read from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And it goes, "Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Jesus did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' And he says in another place, 'You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.' During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Did you hear what the reader said about Jesus and how he became Melchizedek? There are so many things that God has done that have to do with what he had already done. Let me explain. Do you realize that everything that Moses put into the tabernacle, as I mentioned the last time that I spoke to you, already existed in heaven? And so when God laid it out for Moses to build, he was already talking about something that he already had before him. Do you realize that all the major groups on earth, including man, have already been before God before he created them? He has creatures that look like men, that look like bulls, that look like eagles, in his presence for eternity, or as long up to the time that he created them. But of course, God has been for all eternity. So many of the things that God does have already been done in some form. And then he puts them on earth in a way that we can relate to them so that they teach us certain lessons. And so it is with the priesthood called the priesthood of Melchizedek. God talks about this through Paul in the book of Philippians, how this came to be. Philippians, the second chapter, the previous verses, 1-4, talk about how Jesus humbled himself and how we ought to listen to him. And in verse 5, and be like him, and in verse 5 it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ." And that's what we're planning to do on Maundy Thursday as we come out and we celebrate the acts of Jesus on that Thursday night. Who, speaking of Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Of course, speaking of the Word, who became the one we know as Jesus Christ. Rather, he made himself nothing. It's God, makes himself nothing. Taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And that's why we say Emmanuel, God with us, because God becomes like a man. He becomes like one of his own creatures. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to the death on a cross. And therefore, because he was willing to be so humble and to be such a servant, God exalted him, lifted him up to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Covers all aspects. and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So you have someone who was, we call him, we talk about pre-existent or pre-incarnate. Incarnate means, of course, coming in the flesh. You know, you have chili con carne. You have chili with flesh in it. And so carne is kind of a similar term, taking a similar word. So before Jesus came, it's called pre-incarnate. Do you realize that God interacted with human beings quite often before Jesus came in the flesh? Some people aren't aware of that. Maybe some of you are. I want to talk about that in just a moment. But before that, let's talk about this Melchizedek that we just read about. Hebrews, the seventh chapter. In Hebrews 7, 8, and 9 in particular, and in other places. But in Hebrews 7, 8, and 9, Paul talks about Melchizedek in greater detail. Let's just take a glimpse at who we're talking about here. In chapter 7, starting in verse 1, Paul says, "This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings." You remember that situation back in the Old Testament where Abraham had a nephew named Lot, remember? And Lot lived in Sodom, and some of the kings came up and made war against Sodom, and they took Lot and his family and all the goods of the city captive. And then Abraham learned about it. He armed all of his servants in his household. He evidently had hundreds of servants in his own house, servants born in his household. And he took all of his servants that were working with him, and he went out to war against these kings, and God gave him the victory. And so when he comes back, he gives an offering to the priest, okay? And Abraham gave him, that is Melchizedek, a tenth of everything. This is the first one of the first places where we see a tithe. The Old Testament, in days of the Old Testament, in the days of old, a tithe was something that was given not just to God, but tithe was given to the pagan gods. You realize that? Many of the pagan gods required a tithe. And so God also required a tithe of his people. That is to say, I say that to let you know that not everything that pagan gods did and that was done in the pagan world, that is a world that was apart from God, are necessarily sinful. God, in fact, does many of those things. The pagan gods had temples. God allowed a temple to be built for him. It's a matter of who you were worshiping, not so much the physical things as we tend to focus in on. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. These are titles, hats worn by this Melchizedek. Now listen at this. Without father or mother, without genealogy, no tracing of his history going back, because there is no history going back. There is no mother, there is no father. Without beginning of days. What kind of person is this? Without beginning of days or end of life. He doesn't have a time when he's born. He doesn't have a time when he dies. And scholars will argue about whether this is God or not. And I say, and many other scholars as well say, how can you argue about that? Without beginning of days or end of life. He has no genealogy. This is God. Okay? At least that's firmly my belief. Resembling the Son of God. And he remains a priest forever. Who is it that remains a priest forever? Jesus is the only one that we know of that begins a priest forever. But it's interesting that before the one that we know as Jesus ever came, pre-incarnate, there was a person named Melchizedek who was the priest of God and who received offerings. You know, priests do that, you know. They receive offerings that are dedicated to God. The gifts that we give to God, the priest receives. Also, the Bible says that a priest's lips are supposed to keep knowledge. That's over in the book of Malachi, reading the first chapter. A priest's lips keep knowledge. They're supposed to, the priest was supposed to teach the people the things of God. And the priest was supposed to interact between the people and God to make sure the people understood God and God understood the people. The priest was to receive the gifts that were brought to God on behalf of the people. These are the things that Melchizedek did. And as you know, these are the things that the priest that was set up under Moses, under the Mosaic law, also did they not? The people would bring the animals, they would take the animals, they would sacrifice them, they would sprinkle the blood before the altar, they would sprinkle it before the Holy of Holies. They did everything that applied to the worship of God at his tabernacle. And when the people had a problem, who'd they go to? If you weren't sure whether you had leprosy or you had some dread disease, where'd you go? You went to the priest, and the priest decided whether or not you had leprosy. When you wanted to have a relationship with God, just like when we eat communion, a communion grew out of this. When we eat communion, it grew out of this fellowship meal that they would have. A person that wanted to have a special relationship with God, a special kind of an occasion where they sat down and ate with God, you know what they did? They took the meal to the priest, and the priest served it up, and the priest ate with them on behalf of God. So the priest was a representative of God going way back, okay? And we see a clear evidence that there is a meeting that God had with people even before Jesus came. There was a meeting that God had with people. Here we see it in Melchizedek. And there's another example in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 4. It says, Paul talking to the church at Corinth, he says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were under the cloud and that they passed through the sea." Who's he talking about? Children of Israel, right? As they came out of Egypt. "And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea. And they all ate of that same spiritual food." Manna, in a word. But you remember, Jesus said, "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So there's also a kind of a double meaning there in that they ate of what came from the word in the mouth of God. "And they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them or accompanied them." And that rock was who? Christ. So here you have the one who became Christ, who was the Word before in all eternity, who was interacting with the people as the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament was the one that we came to know as Jesus. He was the Word. He was God and is God. And so this should not be strange to us that God has interacted with man. And he interacted with man, I do firmly believe, and the Bible seems to be pretty clear there to me, that he interacted with man as the high priest before he ever even came. Interacted with them as the high priest. And he interacted with them as the one that they knew as God Almighty. And followed them, led them through the desert and performed so many miracles. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter, again, remember I said 7, 8, and 9, Paul continues to talk about this Melchizedek. And he says in chapter 8, verse 1, "Now the main point of what we are saying is this," and there's a lot that went before this, so you can go back and read it in your own personal study. It's a good study. "Now the main point of what we're saying is this," he says, "we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven." Now, somebody asked the question about what does it mean, the right hand. The right hand, when a king would rule, they would put those that were favored by them to their right, on the right hand. Whether it was the queen or some other person that they wanted to appoint to some special duty, they would put them at the right hand. And so when Jesus is at the right hand of God, it shows that great position that the Father has put him in, and that he holds him in this kind of esteem, that he is at the right hand of God. To sit at the right hand of God is pretty powerful stuff. Okay? Pretty powerful stuff. And he has said, Jesus said, remember, God has given all authority and all rule and all judgment into the hands of the Son. that shows you just kind of what kind of power God has in Jesus and what kind of confidence he has in Jesus. And who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. So Jesus serves in the true tabernacle. Now, let's just stop here and look at some of the things that happened in the tabernacle, both the old and then in the true tabernacle. In the tabernacle of old, you had a priest that came and presented sacrifices and offerings, as we mentioned before. And they did it repeatedly, right? All the time. I mean, I've been reading about Solomon and his dedication to the temple. Thousands and thousands and thousands of animals he sacrificed. All of the things that were done in the Old Testament are mere pictures of what God would fulfill in the future. Remember, Jesus, we read that Jesus came to John the Baptist. If you go to Jesus of Nazareth, they have a scene where they enact this very well. And John says, why do you come to me to be baptized? I have need to be baptized of you. And what did Jesus say to him? Allow it, for thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And so what Jesus does is he actually comes and fulfills the righteousness that God has already laid out. Okay? So therefore, when the priest took the blood and they would kill an animal, and what would they kill? They would kill an animal without blemish, right? Had to be perfect, could not have any flaws in it. And they would take that blood of that animal and they would sprinkle it upon the priest, they would sprinkle it on the people, they would sprinkle it on the altar in different circumstances. And then whenever they would go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, they would take that blood inside the curtain and sprinkle it before God. And the priest, remember the curious dress and attire that God, when he talked to Moses, put the priest in. He had what they call a Urim and Thummim, was something on his suit, his dress that he wore, and that thing would actually light up whenever they would inquire of God. They wanted to know something from God. This thing would light up to tell them what the answer from God was. And so it was a picture of judgment and justice and wisdom, right? Right. All right, and then the priests had these unbelievable things that he would wear along with the robe. He had linen clothing that he would wear. It was white and clean. It had to be clean all the time. He had to wash his flesh all the time, repeatedly, over and over again. Whenever he went, in fact, they built this brazen bowl before the in front of the tabernacle. And it held something, so many thousands of gallons of water. And the priests would wash themselves as they came and went in this water. What is that all about, brothers and sisters? It's all about Jesus. He is wisdom. He's the ultimate in wisdom. He's a Urim and Thummim. He is the blood of the Lamb because he is the Lamb of God. He is righteousness, and he is holiness, and he is the white linen of saints. And he gives that to us. He's above that, right? And so we see that what God is doing is, in the things that he did in the physical high priest, he actually fulfilled all righteousness in the true high priest that came, who is Jesus. Do you get me? Amen. Did I lose you somewhere? I hope not. We'll see if we can catch up again. In verse 3, he says, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, what did he have to offer? Himself. They offered all kinds of gifts and sacrifices before, but when Jesus comes, he offers himself. He is the ultimate gift. He is the Lamb of God, as I mentioned before. It says, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. Isn't that what I said? This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you in the mountain. It's already existent, and I showed it to you in the mountain. But in fact, the ministry of Jesus that Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. So the new covenant that Jesus brings, dedicated in his blood, as we just talked about during communion, is superior to the old covenant. Superior. And Jesus comes and replaces all of those things. Since the new covenant is established on better promises. The old covenant was established upon a promise of a promised land. The new covenant is established upon a promise of eternal inheritance and eternal life. The old was established upon a priest that, as Paul says, they couldn't continue because they died. But this one ever lives to make intercession for us. Lives forever to make intercession. So the priest would pray for the people and would offer sacrifice for the people so that they could have their sins forgiven. And Jesus comes and he does the same, but he does it in a better way because, as Paul wrote, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But the blood of Jesus can. Because he has a perfect life that he has lived, that he gives for us. And he washes away, like the song says, into the sea of forgetfulness. He places our sins, just washes them away. He forgives our sins, and he is forever there, ready to make intercession for you and me, to pray on our behalf. And he said, in fact, when he left, though, he says, I don't even have to do that. You can ask the Father yourself. The Father loves you. If you ask in my name, he'll do it. Amen? And so something that was very fragile and very kind of temporary and very weak, Jesus came to replace. He replaces that priesthood that, see, because when the priests would offer a sacrifice, you know what they had to do? They had to first offer a sacrifice for themselves because they were sinners too, just like the people. And then they would offer for the people. But Jesus doesn't have to offer a sacrifice again, over and over again, like the priests of old, because his sacrifice for one time is sufficient for all time. Amen? And it is a true sacrifice that actually does away with all sin because he lived a perfect life. And this is what he gives to us. And he invites us into that priesthood, does he not? He says, you are kings and priests. There is only one order of Melchizedek. Jesus has entered into it. Therefore, if he offers us the opportunity to come into that priesthood as kings and priests, we will be priests in that order, the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you have given us these things that we may read and understand and know that you have loved us to the extreme, that all of the things that you promised you came and fulfilled through Jesus and through your own acts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we have a high priest that loves us, who understands us because he himself was human. And has lived here in the flesh, and he is willing and able to offer up prayers on our behalf, and he has offered up the perfect sacrifice. And so bless us, Lord God, that as we encounter our issues and problems in life, that we will have boldness to come to you because we believe and trust you and ask you for the things that we need. And Lord Jesus, as you carry out your priesthood on our behalf, remember our weaknesses, remember our faults, and remember that we depend upon you, and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and bring us into that glorious kingdom that you have promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.